I don't understand it. But I wonder if those people are kind of like, wish I wouldn't have done that now.
Oh, why not? There's some that are.
They'll be fine. Everybody will be fine.
They will be fine in the end. That's the
one thing. You will be fine.
You will be fine. That's true. You're really embracing. I am embracing
that I will be okay.
You will be okay.
I am.
I mean, definitely in LA, no matter what the market does, you will ultimately win.
Yes.
That is the beautiful thing.
Yeah. Facts. Yeah. 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 Follow me. That under all is the land, the real estate. Courtney, your friends, about to show you how to generate wealth. Get educated, do for yourself. Add a couple notches to your belt. Under all is the land. Under all is the land. The real estate. Under all is the land. Under all is the land. The real estate. Coming to you live from Acme Real Estate in Los Angeles, California.
Welcome to Under All is the Land, Season 3, Episode 2. I'm your host, Courtney Polis, here with my rock star co-stars, Silke Fernald.
Hello.
And Dominique Madden.
Hello.
Oh, shit.
You're starting the day off.
Have you been drinking?
Not yet. She's about to.
But it didn't spill, right?
Is there
right?
Something in there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, tea.
No, I mean a little spike.
Oh.
I know it's D.
The British way.
Yeah, the British.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Wow, starting things off with a bang.
There you go.
So now we're a little deeper into January. So what's going on? What's cooking? Things closing?
Things How's are the market? Closing. Houses. Buyers are back.
Buyers are back.
Definitely
yes, our psychic
like
was right.
All right. Okay.
Buyers are back. I had a banging open house last Sunday, 100 people, and it's a higher price point. So
what was the price point?
1.9.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, and even in that point 100 people, that's a lot.
Yeah, I know we had 300 people through Emily's open house.
She has
a couple weeks
33
ago.
Offers now?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's nine.
Yeah, that was nine list price. So I think something. The strategic pricing, mm-hmm. very important. So we were talking about this at our meeting the other day about how right now strategic pricing is more important than it ever has been, mm-hmm. because now buyers are just, you know, really paying attention to the list price and really taking the list price literally. I feel like in the last market, it was like if they wanted it, they'd do whatever they could to get it. And this market, there are limitations.
In the last market, the list price was a little bit of a conversation starter. You're like, let's start the bidding at 200,000 over. Right. And now I'm getting calls from people, well, I'm not interested in paying more than list price.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting the calls that, my buyer doesn't want to be in a multiple offer situation given the market.
But I feel like the only that's done way now. That they will like take that leap is if it's conservatively priced, you know?
Right.
Like when it's underpriced to the extent that it's like, even if I pay 200,000 over this, it's still a deal to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if it feels like this price is high and I don't think you guys are going to get a bunch of offers on this, I'm going to try to bid it down.
See, I think, remember James Harris was talking about how he's overpricing things in his market to leave room for the negotiation?
Yeah.
I think that it's going to be based on price point.
100%.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Because, you know, I have a house that was listed at 1.8 in the fall and we got an offer. Agents don't send these offers. 1.3. I mean, we got other offers that were higher too, but I'm like, in what freaking world
do you think that works?
Do you think that's going to fly? Are you out of your damn mind?
Nice try.
I think, you know, there's one, a lack of good advice. That's abundant. But also people think that sellers are desperate. They really think that sellers are desperate. What they fail to realize is that in LA, very rarely is someone who owns an asset like a house desperate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of the time you're empowered by everything you can do with that property, unless you're in a desperate
space. Like you can rent it out, you can short term rental, you can
but you don't need to take a $600,000 or $500,000 cut.
Of course not.
It's actually rude, and I'm sure you didn't even respond to that one.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, of course.
But you know, it is rude, and the buyer's agent was surprisingly kind of like, surprised that we weren't responding. I'm like, what advice are you giving these people? Have you shown them the comps? Like, do you understand the market at all or what this product is? You know,
it a new agent?
I didn't even do the deal search
because
it wasn't going anywhere. It wasn't. And I think if it was an experienced agent, they would have never written. Or they would have called me to say, if we put this together, is there any room? No.
Yeah. There's not.
Or you would have called and said, they made me write this number. I'm embarrassed, but I'm going to send it to you.
Exactly. Like some sign of face.
The lights are on.
Yeah, exactly.
Some sign.
Yeah. So I don't think agents who are indulging their buyers in this idea of this crisis market are doing their buyers any favors either.
No.
You know? And every time I get a call from an agent on a listing and they say, well, because of interest rates, they're coming in at this point. I'm like, listen, the interest rates are what they are. So write the offer, of course, taking into consideration the interest rates, but know that I price the house taking into consideration the interest rates.
There you go.
So, you know, that argument works both ways.
Yeah. Exactly, because otherwise, in a year ago, that house would have been listed for a lot more than 1.8.
Yeah, or so would have at least sold for a lot more than 1.8. You know, would have sold for 2, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but that said, I just want to touch on that, because I think sometimes people think when we say that, that it means that prices have dropped. And I really don't feel that prices have dropped. I just feel like people aren't paying ridiculous prices for the ones that they want to throw just random offers at the wall.
I mean, I think prices have. I think sales prices have come down because they have to. You know, buyers can only afford so much, you know? Like, you're qualified for a loan based on what the monthly payment is versus what you owe and what you make and whatever. And so if the interest rates are higher, you're going to qualify for less, you know, and that's the reality. Is there are thresholds in every neighborhood about what people are willing to spend. How many buyers are there looking for a certain price point in certain neighborhoods? I mean, you know what I mean? We have to negotiate that all the time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I think it really is like contingent on the house, the area, and all of that, because I'm still seeing people get some pretty solid numbers in certain spaces, whereas some areas are definitely suffering a little bit more. But I think there's people just making less reckless offers. And that's, you know, I mean, that's kind of good for everyone.
I'm getting reckless-ass offers, Tom. Reckless-ass offers.
You mean reckless in terms of up there?
Yeah,
reckless in terms of overpriced.
I'm talking about under ones.
Like a million over. Why something would go to this crazy
Oh, my God.
Space.
Like that house in Highland Park or Mount Washington. Yeah. It was like a tiny little thing that went for so much. That was nuts. There are so many, like, examples of that, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, tiny little things on the east side that go for so much. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it, but I wonder if those people are kind of like, wish I wouldn't have done that now.
Oh, why not? There's some that are.
They'll be fine. Everybody will be fine.
They will
That's
be fine
the one
in
thing
the end.
With real estate. You will be fine.
You will be fine. That's true. You're really embracing.
I am embracing that I will be okay.
You will be okay.
I am.
I mean, definitely in LA, no matter what the market does, you will ultimately win.
Yes.
That is the beautiful thing.
Yeah. Facts.
Yeah.
I mean, winning. Look, in Mount Washington, you could put a yurt in your backyard and rent it.
It's true. Honestly, I was on a listing presentation once, and the house had a yurt in the backyard.
Mm. I sold a house with a yurt as well.
There's a property in Northeast LA that has this like sick ass, like kind of greenhouse style thing. It's like all stained glass, so you get these kind of like crazy colors in it. And anyway, they pier space it. And I'm sure they're making a grip off of that. It's like now a kind of like famous little thing.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
I was also just thinking, why not? Because buyers are coming back to open houses. So I'm just going to do a public service announcement to buyers. We at Acme Real Estate do require that buyers sign in at open houses. I'm going to reiterate this because despite my previous public service announcements, it still seems that people want to come into the houses and not sign in. But let me tell you what the sign-in does. It does not authorize us to contact you without you wanting to be contacted. But what it does is it gives us an agent to contact for follow-up, or it gives us an email for you so that if the seller receives another offer or there's a price reduction or something that we're just letting people who've seen the house already know about, some special opportunity, it gives us a way to contact you and let you know about that. So it is important, and also a courtesy, since you're walking into someone else's home, that you don't give attitude about signing in and consider it your obligation when you're a buyer. I just want to say that for the daggone record.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to pivot for a second because we have some fun guests. They are Acme agents who have created a new Instagram and brand called Really Pretty Houses, where they showcase really pretty houses. I know. And I just love it so much. So we're super excited to welcome Chelsea Larson and Peggy Barkalow. Welcome, Chelsea and Peggy.
Welcome.
Hey, ladies.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Yes. Welcome to Under All is the Land.
Thank you.
In this environment, just so you know, you can say whatever you want to say.
I've noticed it's a safe cussing space, which I am thankful for.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, we all have to have those. It's the real estate. So, you know, in reality, we all do a little bit of cursing now and then. So for our audience, for those of you who don't know, really pretty houses over here. Can you please introduce yourself? Let's start with you, Peggy. Introduce yourself and tell us how you got into real estate.
All right. So I'm Peggy Barkalow. So I grew up in Arizona, in Scottsdale. And I moved out to LA in 2010 to, as most people do, be in entertainment. And I did that for about 8 years.
Were you an actor?
No. No, I worked behind the scenes in music. I was a day-to-day manager.
Oh.
So I worked with music clients, which was actually one of the best jobs I've ever had. It taught me so much. It taught me how to, number one, have a backbone in this industry, or in that industry, in any industry. It taught me so much. It taught me how to organize, be organized. It taught me how to deal with very high-end clients. And I really grew from it a lot. I've always had a really entrepreneurial spirit, and I've loved interior design since I can remember. And when the pandemic hit, I was pregnant. We had moved to Carmel kind of to escape the pandemic. And my mother-in-law is a realtor up there, and I decided to kind of just, she kind of talked me into, you know, maybe
trying something new.
Yeah, like maybe this could work out. And as a soon-to-be, at the time, new mom, I was a little freaked out about working and trying to raise a baby. I didn't really know how that would happen. And it really is such a great career path for moms, for a lot of people, but especially for moms. You can, you know, you kind of make it what you want to make it, and you work at home most of the time, and you can be flexible, you can pick up your daughter from daycare, you can do all that stuff. So it was kind of like the perfect blend with having my entertainment background, learning all about the business side, and then also real estate, and then also interior design. I just love really pretty houses.
Right.
So that's how I got into it. Yeah.
She's like a COVID real estate baby. I feel like there are those. Yes. There are lots of those. Are you a COVID real estate baby too? Tell us about you.
No, I've had my real estate license in Hawaii for over 10 years. And I'll tell you a little bit about me. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Los Angeles, and I am the daughter of painting contractors. So I grew up going to job sites. That's actually been one of my favorite things to do still to this day. Is go to a house when it's being built, and we'll get into more of that later.
Uh-huh.
But then, when I got out of high school, I decided, FLA, I don't want to be here right now. And I moved to Hawaii for like 15 years, just a little stint. And there I went to college. I worked for an interior designer there.
Okay.
And I helped them open up a brick and mortar store. We offered design services and also, you know, we went to market and bought things for our store as well. And then from there, I decided I want to go into real estate. So I found me a mentor, and I was in commercial real estate in Waikiki for like 2 years. And then after that, I decided I don't like commercial real estate that much. I want to go into residential. So there, I went into luxury vacation rentals. We had properties all the way from Waikiki to Kailua. All around Diamond.
Do you still sell in Hawaii?
Yeah, I sell my license. Yeah, and I will. I have a couple buyer clients right now that are very wonderful. But not living there, I don't have as many seller clients, you know?
Mm-hmm, of course.
But it's a great reason to go back. If you want to buy in Hawaii, see me. Shameless plug.
Half license will travel.
Exactly. Yes. That's basically me in a nutshell. Got married in Hawaii, and then we moved back here because I was pregnant. Let's see. I had my baby 2 days after the pandemic started.
Oh, fun.
Woohoo!
Right around the same time we signed our lease.
It was a really fun time.
It was so fun.
For everybody.
Yeah.
Mm. So we moved back here because my family's here. His family's in San Diego, and I'm very family-oriented. And especially with a kid, I was like, I want to be close to my family. So we moved back here and I love real estate. Why not do LA real estate too?
Why not? I love that Acme attracts people who just love design, like real estate and all the things. It is a holistic career, you know, especially for women. Even though women hold a lot of licenses, I feel like more than just the numbers thing, I feel like our intuition and, you know, the way we handle problems and stuff really works well for real estate. And you can grow, even with a kid, into a future here and plant seeds, you know. At the beginning, when you have a kid, it's not always easy to, like, build a business. Nope. But,
sure. It's not.
But that's why you get creative. So what brought you two together to make really pretty houses?
So Acme does your boot camp, I call it.
Yes.
the trainee program. We were both in that at the same time and just immediately connected. Obviously, we both have children that are around the same age, and that's just the second you meet another mom with this, like, a same age child, you're immediately just like best friends. You know, we're both.
Oh, you're going through that? I'm going through that too. Yeah. Help.
Oh, you're not sleeping? You're sick all the time? Cool. Yeah, so we basically instantly connected and bonded over that. And then we just started getting to know each other, talking more, and found out that we have a lot of similarities in just all aspects of life. And we just clicked. So we started kind of just keeping each other accountable, because starting a brand new business, especially in real estate, can be kind of isolating. And you're on your own for the most part, day to day. You're working out of your house by yourself, or you're, you know, you can be with other people, but especially in this now, like, post-COVID world where everyone's kind of remote, we really connected on that, and we started doing weekly phone calls with each other just to keep each other accountable and say, hey, what's on your to-do list this week? What open houses have you seen? What can we do to grow and whatever? So it kind of just started with that. And after one particular, I think we both had just been, like, through it with kids and starting daycares and getting sick and just, like, frustration with, like, how hard it is to work sometimes as a mom. We were talking and I'm like, I'm just trying to figure out how to be noticed on social media. Mm-hmm. That's one of the number one things that you need to do as a real estate agent. And not every real estate agent is, you know, has millions of followers on social media.
That's true.
But they're still making a killing.
You know what I've learned this week, though? And I was surprised to hear it from so many people. I mean, it shouldn't surprise me. But I don't know why. Certain people, you think they don't buy followers.
Buying followers.
But you think they don't buy followers. Yeah. You just think they don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then you learn they do.
They do, or they have.
I mean, like, probably in our industry, it's probably the norm and not the exception. Yeah. So all these people we look at as real estate agents that have 100,000 followers, like, they get 100 likes on their photos.
Makes you look credible, right? But we decided early on, we're like, we are not going to buy followers.
I think that the credibility, I think people know it, the game now, and they're looking more at engagement than they are at follower count. Yeah. So, I mean, anybody who's savvy, who actually takes social media seriously is going to be able to see that.
Part of the thing is we're real. Like, we're real people. We're real moms. We're real. Like, that's one thing that we actually, like, have pride ourselves on.
The relatable realtors.
I love it.
The relatable realtors.
I love it.
That should have been it. No, so we were talking and basically I'm like, you know, posting on social media is so easy on my own personal, like, life, like, baby, whatever. But, like, when it comes to business, it's really hard to figure out your niche and how to be different and how to get noticed. And we were talking about how, you know, there are some realtors that will just post, like, a specific style of home, mm-hmm. and that has done really wonderful thing for them. Yeah,
sure.
And they have gotten really popular, and that's so great. But I'm like, honestly, I think you came up with it. You were just like, I just like a really pretty house.
I think we were chatting and I was like, we just like really pretty houses, Peggy. Come on. Yeah, like, there's like not like houses. One style that we like. And she was like, hold on, wait a second. And I heard her like typing on her phone and I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm looking up the Instagram handle.
It's so
really
good.
Pretty houses. And I was like, oh.
I'm like, this is a brand.
We were all like, how is that still available?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, this is so brilliant.
It's brilliant.
Why is it still there?
Because, like,
it was waiting for you.
It was. I feel like it's something that we have all have said, like, oh, this is a really pretty house.
Yeah.
It's just a really pretty house. And so
let's talk about the aesthetic for a second, because I feel like even before you created Really Pretty Houses, I would follow Chelsea's picks because her picks, her Ventura County picks, yeah. are like houses that I would dream to live in, like farmhouses, modern farmhouses with acres and dogs in the yard, cow statues and all kinds of things.
That one got you.
That one got me. Yeah. That one hooked me.
It did hook
me. Yeah,
you.
It really did. I love the house.
My heart was broken when it sold too. I really wanted to sell that to somebody.
I know. It should have been me.
It should have been me.
I know, but I just love the lifestyle of like the Ventura County, kind of more space, more land, and kind of these classic houses that remind me of the East Coast, kind of. Actually, like New England-y.
Or the country.
They do
or
the have country. That vibe out there. Yeah. And yes, I am Acme's like...
Ventura
County Realtor.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And Deep Valley.
Oh, yeah. I mean, seriously, LA or Ventura County.
Yeah.
But I love Ventura County. I love the open space there.
I love it.
It's just beautiful. And you do not feel like you're so close to LA and everything. You are looking at hills, rolling green hills and pastures.
Yeah.
And cows and horses. And it's just... It's magical. It's like... It's soothing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought your picks, the houses that you picked, were just so spot on my vision of, like, what I want my dream house to look like, you know? I just, like, loved it so much. So I already knew that you had the sensibility. But together, the two of you, I think, have created something really consistent mm-hmm. that I look to for design inspiration. And it feels like it has a point of view. Can you wrap words around what that point of view is?
Sure. Yeah. It's not only a point of view, it's a feeling. So you can look at a house and go, that is a really pretty house. But can you say that it's also a home? Does it make you feel like you want to live in it? And that is our vibe. It's not just a really pretty house. It's like, would you want to live in it? How did they make it feel like a home? How did they bring that spirit, that essence, that thing that we're all looking for, that when we come home, we feel like we're home and we can take a deep breath. We can look at the freaking beautiful arches in the house. We can look at the beautiful wood, you know, the hardwood floor,
the textures.
We love textures.
Yeah. Tell us more. Yeah. No, Do you guys walk around open houses touching things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're just open houses. When I'm shopping, I'm like, ooh, that. I'm like that.
The tactile realtors. Yeah. We're not just relatable. Yeah. We like to touch stuff.
No, but I think we have very, very similar styles. And then we also don't. We also have very, like, you have a favorite style. I have a favorite style.
Do you guys ever butt heads? You're like, I want to post this. She's like, no.
No. We don't. Honestly, because I think a huge part of it is a really pretty house can mean something different to someone else. So unless it's like a just really obviously ugly house.
I don't know. You know, I feel like there are some standards that you can reliably count on that people are going to be like, that's friggin' beautiful, you know? Mm-hmm.
But no, I think that she'll be like, hey, I really want to post this picture. I think this is gorgeous. And there's never been a time where I'm like,
yeah,
no.
You're like, no. Yeah.
No, you can't. Okay, like, of course, it's both of our projects. It's what, you know, we both bring it, you know, whatever we want to the table. And really, we just collaborate really well with it.
What are your goals for Really Pretty Houses in 2023?
Well... We have a lot.
We've been talking about this. Yeah. Okay. So it's exciting because we love seeing what designers and architects and contractors are doing. Mm-hmm. There's always some new trends, right? You know, you see on Instagram, like the top 10 trend of 2023, like our predictions. And so I think in 2023 for us, it would be really fun to get in the forefront of speaking with architects, speaking with designers and contractors. Like I said, I love a job site.
Aren't you working on something right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Sure. So just to wrap that one thing up is that we would love to talk with contractors, architects, designers, anyone who is doing a project that they want featured. We want to feature them on Really Pretty Houses because we love seeing how they get to where they ended up in the design process and everything. And so me personally, my husband is an architect and builder. He put himself through his doctorate of architecture through building. So wow. He was a contractor through school. And we are building a house in Ventura County in that beautiful, beautiful open space. Wow. Yes.
Jelly. So, call me Jelly.
I know.
Seriously. So yeah, when we moved here though, it was like the height of the market. We had no idea what we were coming into. I had taken a year of maternity leave, right? So I was coming here just not really knowing the LA market yet.
Right.
I know it now.
Right.
Every house we put an offer in on, it was like 40 offers and we were overbid by how much. And you know, finally we realized, we're like, okay, we need cash. This is what we need right now. And then after looking at the quality of houses that we personally had the standards for, which were a little bit high, we realized we should just build a house. Because with his skills, which actually he was an electrician too, he basically knows.
So he's doing a lot of the work himself for real?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a modern, huge, like a Renaissance man. Saver. Love it.
Sure is.
Yeah.
He is. I'm very lucky.
Because I will tell you, I think like, especially for real estate agents, owning a house is really important so that you can advise on owning a house.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And especially when you're working with renovation artists and designers, which we interact with on the daily doing our jobs, having to know what they go through really allows you to understand the process better, give better advice, make better recommendations. And that kind of thing. So I really think that experience of building your own house is something that a lot of people could find value in. It's a dream for a lot of people, but they just don't have the money to do it themselves.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
and they don't have the perspective. You know, I think a lot of people, especially this was a pandemic thing because people were more heavily on social media, Pinterest, all that stuff. We saw a lot of people who thought they were down for projects. And then whenever they actually got into what a project looks like, it became completely outside the wheelhouse. So I think it's a really cool thing that you can put into perspective, like, look, not only do you know like roughly what you're getting into monetarily, what you're getting into in terms of time, you know, and planning. Because the planning is like, I mean, I learned myself. It's a huge
piece of it. It's a learning curve.
It's a learning curve for sure.
Yeah, but that, I agree. I mean, that experience is will allow you to help better educate your clients on whether or not it's a great idea or not to do such a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, okay. So the past two houses that we've had, we've also renovated. And so we had these like little projects first when we were engaged. I was planning our wedding and he was remodeling the downstairs of our house. So in Hawaii, it was like Ohana style, they call it. So you can have, you know, upstairs and downstairs, and it's kind of like the mother-in-law suite or whatever. And it's a good rental opportunity for anybody. So we rented out the top and we lived in the bottom. And so when we were engaged, we gutted it and remodeled the whole thing. And so it was a good opportunity for us to get closer and realize like our boundaries and how we were working well or not
as a
well
business.
Together.
Yeah.
And then for the house here that we purchased as well, we decided to renovate that while we're getting the permitting for our new house. So we just got the permitting and we are breaking ground this month.
I saw those social media posts with the tractors and stuff. Congratulations.
Oh my God, I learned how to drive an excavator.
Love it. Peggy, are you building a house?
No, sadly. That's the dream.
Okay.
Chelsea's living my dream. No, we are not building a house. One day, hopefully.
Same.
But
it's exhausting.
Yeah. No, what am I doing while not building a house? I have a candle company that I started like 5 years ago, and I put it on hold while I was pregnant, and then I put it on extra hold while I had a baby.
Right.
And just this year or late last year, kind of because of Really Pretty Houses, I decided I want to start it back up again.
Are you doing a Really Pretty Houses candle?
I think we might.
Okay. You see, side hustles integrate into main hustles. I freaking love it.
So all these side projects coming together in 2023 and making one big career move.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we have a game we'd like to play. About the houses that you post on Really Pretty Houses.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right.
So
let's do this.
All right. So what we want to know is, in three words, why did you pick this house? Okay. And tell us honestly, why did you pick this house?
My gosh. In three words?
Three words.
That was my pick. I love it. Okay, first and foremost, because it is an Acme real estate
Acme
house,
listing.
Because they are gorgeous, okay?
The best houses.
They really are.
They really are. Yeah. You can drive down the street and see a house and say, that's Acme an house. Acme house.
Yeah.
So I think a big thing with also what makes a house really pretty is minimalism. Mm-hmm. It can have texture. It can have beautiful lines. It can have colors that stand out. But it has to be also minimalistic because you don't want too much busyness. Mm-hmm. So this one is beautiful with the details, but it's minimal.
So minimalism, that's one of the reasons they picked this. What's another reason? And Acme House. Guess we got one more to go.
Well, not just one word, but architecturally unique. It's different than most houses that you see driving down the street. It's not, it's, I wouldn't say it's trendy because I really don't see a lot of houses looking exactly like that, but yeah, unique.
Yeah, architecturally unique. Uniqueness we talk about a lot because, especially with flips, it can be repetitive and redundant, and like some flippers just use other well, that too, but they look at other people's flips and they recreate things that have worked in the past, and then they never stop doing that, and then every one of their houses looks the same
and it gets old.
Or some flippers, you know, they take all the character out of a house and it's just like that's this over and over again, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
but when houses are really unique, people can emotionally connect to them and think, this one I can't reproduce, I'm not going to be able to go around the corner and find this one again.
Exactly.
Okay.
I love this house. I think this house is in Utah, maybe. I have to look back on the post, but obsessed with the stone fireplace and the very, you can't see them, but they're very high ceilings. It just creates that drastic look.
So you've got two there.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Ceiling.
Why are you sorry?
And stone fireplace. But the fireplace is in the living room. Mm-hmm. We just like the way they connect.
The open flow.
The way it feels.
Yeah.
I love an open flow house. I don't know. Some people are saying that that's going to go away soon because of COVID. People are working from home and they don't like this open space where everything flows into one. I disagree. I don't know. I like it.
Got it.
I think that's because we have toddlers and we need to see where they're going.
Yeah, that could
always
be.
Why are you quiet? Nope. I mean, okay, so my favorite part of this thing, which there are a lot, but I love how the island is very long and it connects to the actual seating area. So you've got, you know, at the end you have seats that can go underneath. So they're not in the way. People can sit there while you're cooking, chatting with you. You know, it doesn't feel disconnected. I'm always the one cooking. I love cooking. And I don't want to feel disconnected from my guests.
Right. Yeah. So I think that's a really good observation. Because I have, like, seats under my island.
Yeah.
And it's annoying. They're in the walkway. It's really annoying.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wish they tucked under.
It needs to be seamless.
It needs to be seamless.
Yeah. Everything has to be thought through.
Yeah.
My mind is constantly going of like, okay, what am I going to forget with my kitchen? Like everything has to be well thought out. And it's about the flow.
It's
about creating.
When you're in the kitchen cooking, it's almost like a dance.
That is true.
It all has to work. Where the refrigerator is, where you're going to pull food.
Are you guys
going to
do a social media video of you guys dancing through the kitchen design?
I think
that's
a great idea. I'm not a dancer, though.
Well, it's dancing, but it's not really like dancing.
It might be really bad.
I think Chelsea should do that when her house is complete.
Yes. Chelsea will do that.
And then I did this.
Yeah. Chelsea will do that in her new house.
Wait, we'll be sitting on the island waiting for the food while you do your dance and you cook for us.
Yeah, I can visualize this. It's happening.
I'll have the wine.
Peggy made me come out of my shell for social media. Like all of our reels, she's like, all right, let's do this. And I'm like, okay, let's do this.
Yes. She's a natural.
That's what you bring to the table, huh? A little motivation.
Yeah.
Okay. Picture number three. Showing it to the camera first.
Ooh,
I know the color is printed a little funky, but you can find all of these images on at Really Pretty Houses on Instagram.
It actually, though, is a shade of green.
Uh-huh.
The house, which I loved and found it so unique.
Peggy chose this one.
Okay.
I did.
Do you agree with this one?
I like this one. It doesn't speak volumes to me,
like,
but I love the mid-century kind of vibes.
Okay.
But it's Peggy's.
Okay. I love that it kind of made you feel like you were outdoors. It's kind of both indoor-outdoor. You have the sunlights, the cabinets are like a shade of a really light pastel green. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm actually not obsessed with mid-century modern either. It's not the style of home that I would die to live in. I would live in this home, don't get me wrong. But I just found it. The textures, the color was beautiful. I just, again, like I loved that. It just kind of felt like you were outdoors. Mm-hmm. It's kind of lush, if you will.
The glass ceiling is wonderful.
Yeah, the glass ceiling's amazing. So and that wood paneling. It is very like modern mid-century, like mid-century lovers
it
would love this.
It feels warm.
Oh, yeah.
It feels very warm.
I think we're getting to the part of mid-century lovers needing to adopt new design. You know, you show mid-century houses that have been owned by mid-century lovers forever, and they still have the like 1960s ovens in them and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we kept this because it's the original. And you're like, does this fucking thing work? Like,
You don't even know if it's functional.
We're getting to the point where it's like too old now.
Yeah.
But you know, like the formica is cracking already, you know?
There was this like mid-century lover who had done a few, a couple of flips in Baldwin Hills, which has like amazing mid-century houses. Like, oh my God, Ike and Tina had a house there that someone horribly flipped.
Oh
but
God.
Anyway, he did such a beautiful job, but he did replace the appliances with more modern ones like Miele's. And when I say
people flipped out,
it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful.
And people accepted it.
Yeah, they loved it. Yeah. I mean, people loved it, but the price was high. But he got his price ultimately. He just held
out. I'm sure with Miele appliances.
I think you have to. It has to be functional still. Especially in like a kitchen.
I know, but like I've shown a lot of properties. Sometimes they're expensive, like $3-4 million fixers.
That's
true. And they have all this like original and, you know, mid-century stuff in it. But I'm like, you have to be able to update this with something future buyers are going to love, or you're stuck with like, you know, cracking formica, 1960s appliances. Like it doesn't work. It's getting to the point where it doesn't work to me anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is our last image of the series.
Oh, it's so cute. It's sweet kids' rooms.
Yes. So is this your pick, Chelsea?
Actually, Peggy chose this
one.
Mine
as well.
Unless I sent it. So we have a system where, you know, like I'll send things as well and save them. So we have all these folders of, you know, things that we love, different rooms. And so sometimes it's kind of a wash between Peggy and I.
Yeah.
Who chose
we just send a lot to each other and save them. Yeah. But I do think this was mine. I'm loving kids' rooms right now and what you can do with them. I think kids' rooms don't have to be full of plastic and hot pink and clown colors. I think you can make them really sweet. And a big trend I'm seeing right now also is double
wallpaper.
Wallpaper for one, and also double beds, not just being just your stereotypical bunk beds or twin beds, but something really unique with having multiple
beds. I love
beds.
The bed. I want to get into the bed right now. This one's amazing.
It's so cozy.
It looks so comfortable.
It really does.
But I love a map, I have to say.
I love a map. Geography. Wallpaper is huge. It's not just kids' rooms. And so many different places in your home.
You know what? This inspires me. I'm going to put a wall of a map in Nikos's room, even though he's 13. Maybe he'll like it. His dad's obsessed with maps.
He doesn't love a map.
That's funny. Yeah, I had a map in my kid's room, like the earth. I'm like, you need to know where the countries are. And you're not going to be that kid who doesn't.
Right.
Yeah.
And it eventually had to go. He's like, I hate that thing.
You know what? I made it all the way until I was 29 years old before I knew there was a place called Liechtenstein.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I don't think our schools teach us enough geography.
True.
Really. So it's up to you, parents. Put the map on the wall.
We travel. We have a map in our...
There you go.
I watched a podcast the other day, and literally they said, okay, just name like 3 countries outside of the United States.
People didn't know?
They were like, London and Texas. Africa. And
are
I was
you
like,
talking
what?
About Americans? Because Americans like are kind of notorious for not knowing.
That is true.
I mean, everyone outside of America is just like...
Is aware of countries.
We know. Yeah. Americans are like, what? No offense. We do need to do better. And like,
we need to
knowing.
Do better. Mm-hmm. I had an idea. Instead of like we have a lot of extra money that we spend on bad things, like making wars or whatever. I think we have enough money to make it a requirement that children, when they're at an age that can be like affected, like 5th grade or something like that, have to go out of the country on a trip to somewhere else as a requirement for graduation. So even if their parents aren't teaching them, they get a little bit of cultural education. I travel everywhere with Nikos. He's been everywhere. He's been all over the place.
We took our, when she was, 18 month last summer, we took her to France and England. And it was hard, but it was worth it.
So worth it. And, you know, I've been to Costa Rica, Mexico, and Portugal, and France, and Italy, and, I don't know, Jamaica, and everywhere. Everywhere that I go, I bring him with, because I want him to understand that there's more.
Yes.
So even, bringing maps into the situation whenever you're younger, I think it does inspire some sort of curiosity.
Travel's huge with our family, so I agree with that.
And also travel with really pretty houses. I mean, oh my God, there's so much inspiration everywhere you look.
We find houses, a lot of houses in Italy and Spain and Mexico, and we keep sending them to each other because they're the similar style. They're a lot of stone.
Earthy. Very raw earthy. Materials.
Yeah, very raw materials. And I'm always all right, we got to move. We got to buy a house in Italy or something.
I hear they're cheap.
Yeah,
yeah. Some places are paying you to move there. Yeah,
that's what I said.
Yeah,
you don't have running water, but and there's nobody around for 100 kilometers.
Sometimes I'm used to that in our remodels. I'm we don't have hot water. Okay, cool.
Goodbye.
That's fun.
To wrap this up, tell me 5 things a really pretty house has to have to get featured on Really Pretty Houses.
Ooh. Are you looking at me?
Yeah.
That's fun. There's you two go first. Of us. Okay,
You can do 2.5, she can do 2.5.
I have my first one.
To be featured on Really Pretty Houses.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I would have to say that it has to have warmth. It has to feel like a home.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that before, that it's really important that it's not sterile or something.
Sterile's
you didn't
a
say
great
sterile,
word.
But,
no, but it's
that's
a good
what
word.
I deduced.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
Feel like a home.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest design aspects that we just immediately are drawn to are curves. We love curves.
Curves in the staging or curves in the walls or what kind of curves?
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Architecture, the staging.
Yeah. Curved archways, curved doors, windows, curved walls, staging. I don't know what it is about curves.
Mm.
It's
like
movement.
Curvy
it
houses.
Is movement.
You sure do.
Okay. I like that. What's number 3?
Number 3, uniqueness.
Right.
Because it can be a really pretty house, but it can also, if it looks like every other house, what's it going to make it stand out? You know, it has to have uniqueness architecturally. Mm-hmm. Or if you chose to, have a good wallpaper, paint color, the pulls on your cabinets. Anything that makes it feel like, you've put some heart and soul, some thought into it, not just slapped a paint color on it,
Mm-hmm. For me, a big thing is, and when I say this, it kind of, I'll explain, clean, which obviously everyone loves a clean house, but clean in the sense of not busy, minimalist, you kind of said, but bright, light, which also brings warmth, just really pretty. Clean.
Clean. So that means clear countertops. Because, I follow a lot of design blogs, and I see sometimes they feature houses. Even there are designers who recently have their rooms featured. And there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Sometimes
there's a lot
going on.
We don't like clutter.
No. I mean, that is a style in itself.
Yeah.
Grand
that
maximalist.
That boutique-y. Grand maximalist. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a style.
But I'm not a huge fan of that myself.
No.
It's not warm to me.
You don't want it to feel sterile.
Yeah.
You still want it to feel livable and warmth. But there is something to, and maybe this is just the pictures that you see. It's just really, really good photographer.
Mm-hmm.
But it just feels bright and light and clean.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I can smell the cleaning product now.
No, I smell
the
a
method.
Good linen candle.
A linen candle.
Ooh, I can make one of those.
Peggy's.
A fresh linen
one of
candle.
Peggy's Really Pretty Houses candles.
Yeah.
You know what? You guys should put
I'll
a little Really
those.
Pretty Houses candle on every time you go and tour houses. Mm-hmm. Put this on social media. Mm-hmm. Just like brand
oh,
a candle.
Cute.
A little branding in there.
Yeah. We'll put it on the list.
Well, I think for us, we want to make it so that it's not just designers and architects and contractors that are making it into our inspiration and into our feed. We would love for people to, if they have even just a nook in their house that they love, that they've
So you
curated.
Want submissions.
Yeah, we would love it.
Please. They want submissions.
I think it would be so much fun to
that
see
is cool.
your own house on, somebody else's
Totally. Yeah. If you think you have a really pretty house, or if, you know, if,
a nook.
Yeah.
Or if your friend has a house that's really pretty and you can steal an Instagram photo and send it to them on Instagram, you can do that
too. We'll showcase it. We want to showcase designers' works, and we want to showcase all the really pretty houses, especially in Los Angeles. So
things that aren't being seen, you know. We love, oh my God, I mean, Amber Interiors, you know, Studio McGee, of course, is you know, beautiful and well-known. But we have these inspirational designers and, you know, architects, contractors, like I said, we follow, but how fun would it be to have houses that people have never seen? You know, there's so many beautiful historical or new builds that nobody's seen that would be so fun to highlight.
Yeah.
So people, you can send your submissions to @reallyprettyhouses on Instagram. And that is where you can find Peggy and Chelsea if you have any follow-up questions. Thank you so much for joining us on Under All is the Land.
You're welcome.
We look forward to seeing your success. Yes. So aren't they just the cutest?
So cute.
They are so cute. And they're really pretty.
They are also really pretty.
Really
and the
pretty
houses they profile are really pretty.
Really pretty.
And I love the idea of them not just curating, but also inviting submissions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's actually really interesting. I know a lot of people are real estate voyeurs.
Yeah. We should find good nooks in our really pretty houses and submit.
Yeah, we should.
We should.
Yeah. Because, you know, submitting to Dwell is so 2019.
Oh, please.
Yeah. I haven't even dreamed of it.
Yeah. I mean, like, they probably get, like, so many submissions.
I don't understand
what they're profiling.
Self-submitted
sometimes.
And all the things. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like it would be a nice way to get some promotion. I love that this is what it takes to plant a seed that can grow into something, you know. And here at Acme, we're always encouraging, especially our trainees and the younger agents, to like figure out what it is that really motivates them, what they're passionate about, what they have an understanding of that can be of value to their clients. And I just feel like this effort on their part really combines all those things together.
Yeah, totally. Yep.
And I can't wait for that candle.
I know, me too. So that'll be coming soon. We'll put that on our Shopify site. Shopify? Is that our site?
Shopify?
Yeah.
It's the tab that says shop.
This tab that says shop on the Acme website.
I just feel like Chelsea is bound to be one of these like influencers that's like showing that like house progress. Like who's the one? Who's the one? I feel like she's like got the same vibe.
Like
she went like modern farmhouse. It starts with an A. Anyway.
Amber?
Anyway. No.
We'll put it in the show notes. We'll put it in the show notes.
Like, she's just so cute. And then, like, you know, now she's building her beautiful house.
I know.
I can't wait to see that house.
Yeah, I can't wait, too. Honestly, I think we should start shopping in Ventura County.
Yeah?
For the family compound. Yeah, you'll be invited.
Thanks.
If you want a guest house at the back of the farm. Because I know you already have a house. You're
not going
to bring your kids.
I'll take the guest house.
To the family compound.
This will be my getaway out of town.
If you want to get away, like the psychic was saying last week, you know, you might need that.
Like, do you ever feel like getting away?
Yeah, it might not be Paris, but it's County. Ventura.
I'll have a horse for you there.
We'll always have Ventura.
Yes, we'll always have Ventura. And with that, we wrap this episode, and we'll see you next week on Under All is the Land. Bye.
Courtney, your friends about to show you how to generate wealth. Get educated, do for yourself. Add a couple notches to your belt. Under all is the land. Under all is the land. The real, real, real. Under all is the land. Under all is the land. The real, real, real estate. Coming to you live from Acme Real Estate.